This is La Verdad Podcast.
Mi gente, welcome back to another episode of La Verdad Podcast. This is your host Christian, and I'm joined by a big crew today. How's it going?
This is V Fig on the mic.
V Fig, everybody else quiet. What's up?
Hey guys, it's Marissa.
It's April.
Hey, Ivan in the house.
How's it going, man? So it's kind of like an intimate thing. I'm like,
this real, is literally real... LV after dark at 11:30 a.m.
I know, 11:30 a.m. with like the barbershop next door. Bumping some Drake or something. I don't know what they were playing.
God's but, Sorry, it's still on my mind.
Before we begin the podcast, I do want to ask that everyone go ahead and like and subscribe to the actual episode. The link is at the bottom of the description of this podcast, or just go to social media and like us anywhere on social media as at La Verdad LTD. We're back with season 2, episode 4 this time, because right now, by the time this airs, it's going to be another episode that you'll be listening to. Mm-hmm. And this is the second group talk that we have on
group
season two.
Group talk number two, season two.
So what's good? How's everybody?
Tired.
No, we always begin every episode
usually tired. I am pumped. I usually am pumped, but today I'm just like, I don't know what it is, but I'm good now.
You didn't
now.
Drink coffee?
I had coffee, but it wasn't strong enough, though. I don't need more.
Man. We gotta be pumped in the mornings, because every episode I feel like we started out with
literally every time every episode we're like, how you feeling?
I'm we need tired. Like a Butelo IV bag.
Yes.
Honestly,
connected to ourselves. But it's been one of those. I think last week too we talked about it in the podcast, and we started out with like Dan like talking about like a crazy week or like a sad week. This week has been kind of the same way. I feel like we're hitting the summer, and the summer's getting violent. The summer's getting crazy. So I only want to touch upon it for a little bit, mostly because we don't want to just... There's so much negativity going on every single day. I don't want to make this podcast or these group talks all about negativity.
Doom, you know, and gloom.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's totally a media thing, though. You know? Like, I'm sure there's plenty of positive, awesome stuff happening all the time. But look what gets... I mean, granted, yes, there are certain things that should be, you know, in the spotlight and on the news, but it is sometimes always focused on the bad.
It gets pounded in by the media, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the you know, it sells the bochinche and everything that has like a negative part behind it. It's always gonna sell, and it's always gonna be keeping people. I mean, I've been following
if it keeps
some
people talking, if it keeps people talking, they're gonna put it up.
If it bleeds, it leads.
I've never heard of this before. So,
that's a total media term, actually.
I've never heard of this.
So in the media, though, unfortunately, like I was mentioning, I kind of hinted it earlier that it's gonna be a bloody summer already, and it barely was. Summer just started like 2 days ago or something. Officially, summer
the 20th,
started,
right? Yeah,
something like that. I just saw. I was on a work trip, and I saw, and it was raining where I was at, and it was kind of cold. And I'm like, man, this does not feel like summer. And then the funny part is that we were just at the Puerto Rican parade the week before, and it was hot. It was like a heat wave of like 96.
Dangerous.
We had Father's
heat.
Day tradition. Brutal. So we'll talk about Father's Day too. We had a bunch of stuff happen. We had the Puerto Rican festival. Big shout out to everyone that went to the festival. I heard it was hard to get in. It was like a long line.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Father's Day tradition that V-Fix family has in every year. It's almost 30 years almost.
Yeah, I don't want to give my age.
So we'll talk.
But, you know.
We'll talk about that in a bit. And then we have some other bochinche and stuff that we want to talk about. But I wanted to highlight, so lately there's been a lot of crazy things. The first thing that I saw was XXXTentacion. Got murdered in Florida, right? So that was like a big one. I didn't really follow his music, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
I just heard of him. I was around the media. I follow urban music a lot.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not a big fan of like the urban trap music. As far, I'm more of the Latin trap kind of like.
Yeah, and that almost falls into a different like a subcategory of like emo trap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I think he was in the same category as like Lil, not Lil Pump, but the other guy that passed away too.
The pill popper guy.
Yeah. So it's like a weird, and it is kind of like an emo trap because it's a mixture of like emo rock music and trap.
Kind
of
dark and somber.
Because even like Tekashi 6ix9ine is in another level too. Like he's like a screamo like type of trap. But the crazy part behind it was that so that hit, and a lot of people got hit hard by it. I feel like it was mostly like this new following, these younger kids.
Yeah.
And I've made it a point where I don't talk shit about the genre anymore.
Right.
I used to talk shit about like mumble rap and all this stuff, but I've started to become more of a believer in expressing yourself somehow in the music, unless it's complete trash. Like,
yeah,
if it's complete trash.
But that's still your opinion, though, right?
True, true.
Yeah.
But if you have lyrics in it and if you have a following, then it's like, okay, cool. Like, do your thing. You're doing your thing. You're somehow influencing someone. Because I remember when he passed away, there was a video that was surfacing where he said, as long as I die and know that I made like 5 million kids happy, I'm good. And he had just done that with like a Billboard. Mm-hmm. Like Billboard top
deep. Yeah, because everyone has their own definition of what success means to them, what happiness means to them, and what they want to do in life. And art is very subjective. Yeah. So.
Exactly. So the crazy part behind it, though, the bochinche behind it was that there was reports of people saying that there was like guys in purple hoodies and a red mask that shot him. So quickly there was this other kid called, I think, Soulja Kid, who on his videos, he has a red mask and purple hoodies. Oh, and he has a big feud with Triple X at the time. And one of his songs was like "Fuck Triple X," something like that.
Yeah.
So they like quickly said that he killed him because he was just in a chicken or like a Popeye store next to that place. He had just done an Instagram that he was there, and then like this guy
died.
He
was like motorcycle shopping, right?
Yeah. So like the guy that they were accusing, like the media was accusing, was just at like a food store, like a fast food joint.
So that was his alibi type.
No, he was just at a fast food joint. Like minutes before this guy got killed, and he's like one of the biggest ones that hates him, right? In Genito. So they were like, "Oh, he did it," you know. And then 2 seconds later, he had a Louis bag, which was what they stole from this guy, and he had a red mask on his car. So like, this guy killed him.
I know they caught a suspect, but yeah.
So this guy, people were threatening this guy. Like the whole bochinche behind it is that they found the guy's address and like fans were going to his house, but that was an old address and a new elderly couple lives in that address.
Oh my gosh.
So they had to put cops there because the fans were trying to do justice, right? They were like, the cops ain't gonna do nothing.
Always, yeah.
So it ended up happening and no, he's not the one. Like he had an alibi, and the other guy that actually killed him was a tattoo artist from Florida. And they actually
He was a tattoo artist from his pictures.
Bro, his
mugshot didn't say that at all, but
there was like
what is a tattoo artist supposed to look
but he had like really shitty tattoos.
Prison tattoos on his face.
They were like at least he's gonna go to prison and perfect his craft now. But that was like a lot of bochinche. So that happened, right? And I'm assuming like that people were already that had happened already. And then like a couple days later, not that they go together, but it kind of has to do with our youth, because that guy was only 19, I think 20. Triple X was only 20.
That's sad, but, man.
Yeah, and he was up and coming big time.
He had touched a lot of youth already, you know, like they were rioting in LA so he touched a lot of people. He had a lot of fans.
It's crazy because after that happened, so weeks before that happened, that's when Tekashi 6ix9ine, and I know we're getting into this trap thing.
Yeah,
and
all
Vanessa's
these people,
looking at me
like who that? Who that?
Do we talk about?
No, I just don't.
Rihanna.
That I can talk about forever.
No, but what I want to get, it's kind of, it goes hand in hand with what I want to get into.
Okay.
So
waiting for
a couple weeks before that, Tekashi 6ix9ine was here in Chicago like 3 weeks before, and he was like basically like the guy's playing with his life, right? He's like, no, come get me, you know, I'm blah 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 blah. So after Triple X got killed, Tekashi did a video where he was like, I'm sorry, like life is too short, like I need to like. But the problem that I see, and this goes hand in hand with the next topic, is that I feel that they take this generation in a different way. Like, they don't understand this new generation. And I used to be one of those guys where I used to be like, man, these millennials suck. Like, they don't understand, blah, blah, blah. Even though, like, I'm in a weird cusp because I'm, like, almost a millennial but not really a millennial. And, so I could be part of it. And then April's looking at me like,
what are you?
Yeah. I don't know. Some places say, so 88, I was born in 88. So some places say that like 87 is the cutoff or 85 is the cutoff.
I think you're a millennial.
Yeah. And then 90 is the cutoff.
My sister's born in 89. She's a millennial.
Yeah. So I'm 88. But that's what I'm saying. Like the weird cutoff.
We're going to call you a millennial. I've just defined it for you.
I'm okay with being a millennial. The thing was like I was... For a very long time, like the gente, they're weird. Like, you know, they need a whooping to get to where they're at. But I saw a message from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who actually Abel Mohammed was on this show a couple like in the beginning of the podcast, who is his like right hand man for the Latino population in the Nation of Islam. So he mentioned an article that Louis Farrakhan had mentioned that this generation is probably one of the brightest that he's seen, and I was like. Like, what do you mean?
What?
Yeah. And this comes
from... The generation after us.
This generation, the millennial generation.
The current generation.
Oh. Yeah. That it's one of the brightest one because they're not afraid to speak up. They're not afraid to be who they want to be.
Right.
There's a lot more to it. If you have a chance, you should go and look at Louis Farrakhan's article and sermon. But that kind of opened up my eyes because I'm like, man, we talk so much shit about this new generation. Okay, you have to do everything for them. Que esto, lo otro... But we don't take into account the generation that was before them and the people that raised them, right?
Exactly. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But never mind. I lost my train of thought. No, I lost my train of thought of what I was going to say earlier.
So,
because you were saying about how we're so like
spoon fed.
Not spoon, but you were saying that we're always afraid. We're not afraid of like speaking up type thing. But I think part of that is just the boom of the internet. You know, we're not afraid to speak up because we're behind a screen.
Well,
you know,
I think this generation is also more brash about it, more forward about.
Yeah, we're like not afraid to express everything. Yeah,
and for like PR reasons, like back in the day, it was out of respect that you don't, you know, speak your mind because you might offend somebody. But now it seems like this generation. Doesn't hold back. They lost their respect. Offending. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's funny you mentioned that, like the whole like that you don't hold back in order like you don't care about hurting somebody's feelings, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This generation. But I don't know if it's this generation or if it's the generation before what they call the millennials. And let me clarify though, because millennial is very big.
Generation X, I believe.
Well, millennials is very big.
That's the generation.
So go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was gonna say Generation X. I think is the one that people are like they're spoon feeding everything. We have to be careful. They're also sensitive about everything.
That's why. Yeah, that's after millennials, right?
Right.
But don't they say that about every generation?
They always say that
because I think like us right now, like. We were not spoon-fed things. Like, we're so used to, like, before GPS days, and we had, you know, we still had to figure shit out before everything was super easy. So I feel like the generation after us, Generation X, those are the ones that are being spoon-fed everything.
I don't know about that.
They get away with everything, and they're eating Tide Pods.
What?
So...
April,
where the hell you been? Where the hell you been, April?
You ever heard about people eating Tide Pods?
No. Are
you
serious? Oh my God.
Don't try it, April.
You heard of people eating Tide Pods.
That's why I was trying to make the differentiation.
No, I don't think so. And man. Even I kind of have to back up also the Generation X. I think that not so much that they've been spoon-fed. I think that they've had a lot of freedom in their disposal, and this like they're not afraid to speak up and say whatever the hell comes up to their mind, and then the funny part is that usually the people like our generation, a little bit older than us, are the ones that are like, oh man, like grow a pair, like take it, but when the new generation starts saying some crazy stuff, it's usually the older ones that are like, oh, but you should also respect, you know, this person's like, well, you're kind of contradicting what you're saying. You're telling these people to grow a pair and not be crying and eating Tide Pods, but then you're also you were the one that taught that kid that it was okay to do that.
Yeah, it's hard to break that line in age.
They're also like brave because look at the kids, the high school kids that from Florida that stood up to protest the gun violence, and also the kids that are like standing up to get DACA back and all that stuff.
But
social media.
But then my question, that's what I'm saying. Like, have they always been standing up and we just haven't seen it?
They have.
Right? But, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, now there's pictures of it happening. Now there's videos of it. Everybody has their cell phones out all the time. That's true,
but now it happens in a much rapid way because of social media. So before, you will have three people.
They have a bigger reach, yes.
True. Before, you probably had one school probably standing up against bullying, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just use that blank statement as bullying. Or like the LGBTQ community, right? And standing up about it and doing something about it, where it was just one school because nobody knew about it. But now that one kid Snapchat the other kid that goes to South High School, whatever, now they're doing it.
Yeah.
And now South High School
Snapchat. It's Snapchat the exposure, right? Like
So
yeah,
it's
instant viral.
So that's
campaign.
Why I'm so. Right? That's exactly. Why I like social media. I know a lot of people hate social media. A lot of people are like, eso está dañando las cosas.
But it's a double edged sword.
What, and then it also goes into the next topic. It's like, now it's a little harder to get away with stuff, as whereas before you could get away with a lot more. And we'll talk a little bit more about this whole Trump situation and the immigration, where I feel like because of the help of social media, I think people mm-hmm. have been noticing it more.
Yeah.
As where if we didn't have social media, it would have been it would have been really, really bad.
Right.
Yeah.
But the reason I brought up this generation thing is also recently in the news, we had a situation where a 15-year-old got fatally stabbed in the Bronx, New York.
Yeah.
Very sad, man. Like, I unfortunately saw the video. I didn't see the whole thing. I saw the video online, and it was very sad to see. But the fucked up part behind it is that, and this is where social media kind of gets a little, like, shitty, right? It's like, damn, like, we've been so desensitized mm-hmm. by watching these videos
mm-hmm.
that you watch that video and you just go straight next to the other one and you start watching a funny comedy one.
I was confused because, so, the way I found out was my brother will be teaching at that school where that child went. And so he sent that article to us like, oh, this kid goes to my school, blah, blah, blah. But when I saw the video, mm-hmm. this person is sitting like in an apartment building, like they're recording from up top. And
yeah.
Like, nobody can see you. So shouldn't you be calling 911? Like, you can see this shit happening and they're not.
That's what bothers me. It's like, instead of recording something, like, do something about it.
Okay,
like,
but
this was a surveillance camera that I saw. But
okay. Yeah, so there was a video of a surveillance camera. Then there's also the video of like, a lady yelling in the background. And if you hear the video of the lady yelling in the background, she's telling the guy recording, para grabando porque te van a hacer algo. Yeah. They're afraid of the tigres.
And I get it. Yeah, afraid of the whole snitching or somebody sees you and then the heat's on you. I get that. Right. But from this angle, it wasn't a security camera. You can tell because they were like moving the camera.
No, no,
the security camera doesn't do that.
You could hear them talking like, yo, stop recording.
Oh, I don't know if it was the same video you saw,
lady,
though.
Yeah, they're like in a big like building and they're recording.
Oh, I didn't hear the sound.
It's the only one. Yeah,
it's
you
like
could hear
overhead.
The lady's just saying like, stop recording because they're going to like, you don't want them to see because they were literally like that. And if you're a gang banger or whatever, because it was according to
right. So that
gang,
that I can tell.
They're probably
but it's
like, oh shit, they're going to get in trouble. But just call the cops.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. And maybe I'm naive to that whole situation.
The whole situation, for those that don't know what's going on, like he was a 15-year-old kid in the Bronx in New York. And I don't know the whole story.
He was stabbed
no one's
in
gonna
the
know.
Neck,
no
like
one's
both
gonna
sides.
Know. Yeah, no one's gonna know the whole story behind it. But he went into the bodega looking for help, and then they mm-hmm. dragged him out of the bodega. And then you could see in the video like a guy stabs him in the neck, and then another guy is just repeatedly stabbing him with machetes.
Yeah.
And there's you could tell it's a gang in New York.
And it was said that he actually tried to run to the hospital.
So he
and
ran
died
a block
right
to the
there.
Hospital.
Yeah.
He ran a block to the hospital. The other controversy behind it is that when he ran to the hospital, he like was sitting in front of the hospital, and the cops are just looking at him and not doing anything. Now, if it was me and I'm in that situation, I probably will freak out and just like get stuck.
But that's a cop.
But that's
they're
a cop.
Trained
yeah,
to
that's what I was getting
react.
At. Exactly.
Oh, sorry.
Now,
my bad.
You're cutting off. Are you cutting?
Sorry, I'm
so,
killing your.
Now the thing behind it, and I think this is coming from this generation versus old generation, was that, and we hear about crazy stories happening, like in your dad's generation or my dad's,
mm-hmm.
where there was a lot of fights, right?
Yeah.
A lot of gang, like Roberto Clemente was pretty bad, like back then, the high school.
My dad got stories
where
days.
You couldn't go there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's still a lot of deaths going on. People got killed and all that. But when I saw that in a situation, like when I was growing up, that was more of a paliza. Like, you would just get a fight. You
rumble.
Would fight.
It's a rumble. Yeah.
You would just fight. You know, like, you would get, you wouldn't take a freaking much. Because And I think it has to do with this fact that they've been so desensitized that a life doesn't mean anything.
Sure.
I don't think you would ever go through your mind and be like, oh, I want to kill you. You will say, oh, I'm going to kill you. But it was just to beat you up.
I have to disagree. I think it's always been happening because something that tragic and that brutal happened when I was in high school. And that was a whole decade ago. Mm-hmm. You know? So, like, to say, like, oh, this next generation is the one that's desensitized. I think people have always been that way. Because
but don't you think...
It was not a similar situation, but he was, I think, and I don't know the whole story, but I guess he was like brutally beaten and then burned inside the car where the mom had identified by dental records. Yeah. And then these two people went up, supposedly they're in Mexico and blah, blah, blah. So that's just as brutal. Yeah. And that was 10 years. That's my generation.
I'm just wondering, like, what goes through your head that a life doesn't mean anything, that you could just do that? You know what I'm saying? And well, that there's like a really big psychological shift happening.
Psychopath
there.
And sociopaths.
And it's crazy because, like, for you to get to that point, it's like, oh, like that, you know, oh, vamos a matarlo como si fuera, like, you know, like anything, you know?
Yeah, an animal or
an
something.
An animal or something. Like, what goes through your mind? Like,
I think it's
how
power.
Do you justify
it? Well, and there's also a lot of mob mentality, I think, when you get into numbers like that and you feel like they got your back and. You know, you have the power in numbers. You feel more powerful. You feel like you can get away with more.
Yeah.
You know, you have, you know, allies that are helping you do these things. So.
Yeah.
And that's true.
I mean, because, like, even, like, when I was in college and we're learning about, you know, los desaparecidos and all the people going missing and just all the stories of what's happening. Like, you got 7-year-olds slicing people's throats and it's all just to, like, one up the next person and make a name for yourself and you know what I mean?
I mean, stuff like this happens all the time and it's crazy. I mean, I think the biggest issue was that they were having was that the cops didn't do anything when he was sitting. I think that was the biggest issue, that they felt like it was, like, they didn't try to do anything. Like,
they weren't serving.
Because I'm sure, like, if I was a cop, and I'm not a cop, and I'm not trying to diss a cop or anything like that. I'm just saying that, like, if I was a servant of the people, right, that should be my mentality the whole time. If I see a kid that's, like, bleeding, obviously, I would have taken off my shirt, figure something out.
You got to react. Yeah, like, exactly.
I don't know the whole story, and I don't want to be that guy.
Right, and you start a rumor. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that little snippet, like, bothered me out of the whole thing, right? Because, I mean, I saw that, and I'm like, oh, that's a gang fight. I've seen that so many times, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But the after fact, the fact that they didn't help him out and I don't know, man. Like,
well, how about the response time? Like, if the police was called,
the hospital's a block away.
Why'd it take so long? Yeah. Like, there's a mob of kids beating the shit out of some little 15-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. So if nobody called the cops, that's shameful. If they did call the cops and they took that long to get there, that's also shameful, you know?
I feel like this isn't the first time we've seen this happen. I feel like we live in a society now where it's like it's every man for himself. Like, people see something, but they won't help or react. So, like, if you're put in a position where your life is at risk, like, you have to defend yourself because nobody around you is going to do anything, even on trains, like CTA. Like, no one's going to help you.
Yeah,
it happens a lot, especially in the city. Mostly because you're afraid. A lot of people, especially, you know, I grew up in the city, and a lot of times it's more of like the repercussion of if I help this person.
Exactly.
Out. I've seen a lot of, like, unfortunately, I've seen, like, fights and stuff like that, and I've walked away. Like, I'll be honest to say that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and now, would I do that now? I don't know. It depends on the situation. Like, if I see, like, it's a fair fight, you know, like one-on-one, and then I'll just definitely call the cops or I'll call some type of help. But
being a hero can be dangerous.
Yeah. Man, you end up getting shot.
And we've, you know, for like what I would do for work, my kids, they've had very, very like deep conversations about this because they're the ones in it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the ones in the schools and on the streets, and they were very much, and then, you know, it's a mentoring program, so they have their mentors who are, like, in their 40s, 50s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, who have this very old school opinion, and then you got these kids that are like, no, I would do this or I would do that. And so it was a very healthy debate that they had, but it was interesting to see the perspective of these 13, 14, 15 year olds and what they would do if they were to see a fight, and what their older mentors would say. It's very interesting.
The crazy part is, like, I remember growing up too, and more of the city mentality, but I think it's happening everywhere now, where, like, I would walk and you had to have, like, your always look back, mm-hmm. or if somebody, and to this day I still kind of do that, which is, like, you know, just ingrained in me, and it sucks, because now those people that saw that fight, and now those people, they're having a traumatic experience, and they won't know how to deal with it till later on in life, or in other certain situations where that will trigger that traumatic experience in their mind, and they won't even know that that's happening, and they don't have the resources to pay for a therapist or whatnot. So, you know, it's one of those things. I wanted to bring it up in the podcast because I feel like I should get into an episode probably with our boy Renee to talk more about what to do and what, how to, you know.
Empathy. Because
it's also traumatic when you see that video on social media. You never know. Your kid's probably looking at your phone and then sees that.
Yeah.
So then it looks like a game or something.
Yeah, we've been trained on that. I mean, with working with the age group and the at-risk group that I, you know, work with, and they go through trauma, we've been trained on what that does to the brain and why they react the way they do and just behave the way they do. And then we're also trained on how do we help them? What do we do? What's within our power? And they talked about empathy.
And it creates a domino effect that, you know, it continues, the cycle continues. Right. And back to the, you know, desensitivity and, like, the lack of respect for life.
Right.
Like, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with the lack of mentors and the lack of role models.
Yes, you got it.
Because this generation, this youth, those role models for us when I was growing up was the uncle in the alley drinking an old style that would tell you, no, that's not right. You know,
you don't, like, mess with a woman or
all those things. Those are just fundamental things that they taught you that were just life rules that morally they instilled in you. Like, you don't do this, you don't do that. You have to have respect for life. And those kids are lost. I think a lot of these generation is lost. They don't have that anymore. Mm-hmm. So they're just doing the impulsive thing that they know how to do. You know? Yeah.
You don't have that mentorship or that.
Yeah, that's why it's so valuable. It's
like the street code that got lost, right? Yeah, because like I mentioned earlier, like, back in the day, that was just a paliza. You know, you would just fight. Yeah, you give the guy, like, two hands. Black eyes or whatever, but you throw hands. You know, and then you dealt with it late. Nowadays, it's just like a life is just another life for people. And you know,
and that's the problem. They're not dealing with it. Yeah. They're just letting it pass. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, physically, think
those uncles and those family members and those cousins, those older role models that you used to have, now they're stressed out with life where they have to work longer hours.
Yep.
So they're not there to do that. They're in jail or they're on drugs, you know? Mm-hmm. So those three things contribute to the lack of role models in these kids, and they're just doing their own thing. You know, they're being forced to be adults faster than we were. You know,
and we're gonna keep seeing that. I mean, I feel like every generation has that. Like, you'll see it. It's like, oh, it's getting worse, and then there's a little time where it's like, it's okay. But I feel like this whole lack of sympathy towards life, it, especially where we're at here in the U.S., has become a bigger issue. And it's funny because I have a coworker that's Australian, and he mentioned that, you know, like, that a lot of people are scared. They view the U.S. as being like people that don't really care about your neighbor, or they don't really care about life, you know, and they see it in little things, like, all the way down to, like, the way that people talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to segue into another conversation, because I feel like from the outside looking in, for people, they see this whole issue with, you know, in caging or putting kids in cages or in jail, right, with this whole immigration issue. And I don't want to get into too much of the political side behind it, because immigration has been shitty for, like, the immigration. Whether it's immigration enforcement or immigration reform, has been shitty since I can remember, right? And past administration had a lot of shitty things behind it, and people wouldn't talk about it. And this administration is just very much vocal about it, and his people are very racist about it. But what I'm talking about is the fact that in the last couple of weeks, too, More videos have surfaced, more pictures have surfaced of these like kids, literally concentration camps, in my opinion.
Yeah, I didn't know they were given numbers, my man.
Yeah, it's but it's been the crazy part. It's been happening.
It's the systematic. Thing is,
and thank God for social media for opening it up and people seeing it. But I think what has made it more noticeable now is the lack of sympathy that you can see in the comments and the people that are like in support of it, even Latinos that are like in support of that.
Well, that's why like a professor of mine, I'm glad she posted it and I liked it. It was something like, you know, stop saying this is not my America. Like, and then you go back to all the shit that's been happening in history. That's like slavery, for example,
and
like
kids were being separated from their families. This shit has been happening
forever. Yeah. Don't say this is not my America. This is something brand new.
Yeah. Right. The big issue that I like, to me, it hurt me a lot because I saw it. And I'm like, damn, thinking of my kid. Like the kids didn't quite like, they're not telling their parents. I want to, you know, they're not making that decision to the parents. And that's why I said, I don't want to get into the topic of the immigration part because it's not something I'm knowledgeable on. Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like that's a separate issue from having kids in a freaking cell. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the fact that they believe that that person, because they're not a citizen of this country, are less of a human being than they are.
Exactly.
Right?
Very dehumanizing.
I think that's what bothers me the most, especially a freaking kid, man, who didn't make that decision, right? Of supposed, and it's not even a criminal charge, right? Who didn't make the decision, and they're already putting them and treating them as a jail, as a cell.
Right,
as
but
a,
that's what I'm saying. That's, it was like slavery. Mm-hmm. Just because of the color of their skin, you are no longer, you are less of a human.
Yeah.
So we're going to treat you this way.
And it's a traumatic experience. To them, makes sense. It's just, I've seen some of the crazy comments like that I've seen.
Oh, man, it gets.
Oh, like, oh, they should shoot all these people at the border.
It gets dark. They're behind a screen. They're behind a screen. So they have all these walls.
I'm so happy when they I love it when they like, when they like find out, like you get these people that hack, you know, they'll be like, okay, this guy's a professor at so-and-so university, and boom, they get fired. I'm like, that's what you get. So, well, they're each other because you've been talking all that shit. You know, like, be careful what you say. I remember my grandma always used to say, mejor calladito te ve más bonito, right? Like, stay quiet because
your eyes open, mouth shut.
You start talking all this shit.
Look what happened to Roseanne, you know?
Big time, good. So, I mean, when I saw that, you know, as a parent myself, I saw that. I saw the kids. Like, I'm like, fuck. Like, this is like, what the hell? Like, how is
and,
this
like,
happening?
They don't need to be pulled away from their families. Like, there's no need to rip them apart from their parents and all that to leave them, like, alone.
The crazy part, too, is, like, even, and this is, another, like I said, another topic, and I think we should get into this later. Even with their parents, like, why are they being treated in a freaking cage in a Walmart?
From what I understand, a lot of these parents are not trying to sneak in. Like, some of them, maybe they're crossing rivers, walking across the desert, but for the most part, they're walking up to these border agents saying, I need asylum. Like, I can't go back. Yeah, like, it's too violent where I am, or whatever the reason is, it compelled them that much to put their kids at risk to make this long journey to try and seek a better life in a new country. And they're pleading to these border agents, like, do whatever you want with me, but I can't go back home. You know what I'm saying?
What kills me the most, bro, what kills me the most is, like, I see, like, these, like, Latinos, right? That a lot of them are, like, conservative Christians. And just because they're conservative Christians, they always have to, they feel like they have to always back up their Republican side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that, and because they back up the Republican side, they have to back up Trump. You don't have to fucking back up Trump.
Yes.
Because you're a Republican. You could be a Republican and not have to fucking back up racism.
And it's their privilege, you know? Too, that they're speaking from.
Yeah. So, like, I see these people, right, where I know their parents were immigrants. Mm-hmm. And I know they probably just got papers, like, a couple of years ago, their parents, right? And they're like, no, but why do they come over here illegally? Oh, Obama was doing this. I'm like, man, like, are you serious right now? Like,
like, the word illegal, it's like they use it to criminalize them. It's not like no one is illegal.
Exactly.
Like, that word shouldn't have
and
been used.
And that word, the word illegal was actually, you know, being in media, like, you know that there's like an unspoken rule of certain things you don't say, right? So in media for a while, I want to say like, 2-3 years ago, they weren't using illegal anymore. It was undocumented, right? Mm-hmm. Because they had said illegal brings down the person. It's
or
like
illegal
saying like,
alien.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But ever since the Trump administration and these races that have been popping up out of everywhere, they've been using that word again, illegal, mm-hmm. illegal this, illegal that.
And they used
that.
It for, like, the Nazis, too. They had said, like, the Jews were illegal and that stuff. They used it, like, to criminalize them and that, mm-hmm. like, so I feel like that's what they're doing it's
like,
now, too.
Like, I saw one of my boys put a picture of him and his son, and he's like, damn, this sucks that I have to explain this to my son when he's going in social studies classes and he's viewing what happened here in the U.S. years from now. I have to explain to my son that I was here. And how that happened. He's like, this mm-hmm. really sucks. Like, we used to see that in history books.
Right.
And we used to be like, damn, how the hell did Hitler become powerful? Yeah. You right. know, I used to always sit there and be like, damn, like, they didn't. And then I remember telling my yeah. dad a couple weeks ago,
and
I was like,
textbook propaganda that he used that is happening yeah. now. Like, yeah. the same techniques.
It's crazy.
The
same.
I remember sitting with my dad a couple, like, three, four years ago, and I was like, you know, nowadays you can't have no dictators like before nowadays because there's social media, so they expose them right away.
Yeah.
You know, I remember saying it's gonna be hard for like another Albizu Campos to come through because of social media, and then they find a little thing and you yeah. know, and I'm like, holy shit, it's actually happening where mm-hmm. where people have this institutionalized racism is so deep here yeah. in the US yeah. that that is definitely now giving it a little bit of a light, and they're taking it and running, or giving them the okay, and they're taking it and running. People have been racist yeah. forever, right?
Right, right.
But now they're like, well, come they're on. Not like, oh, my like, buddy now. Oh, yeah, yeah, we're buddies. So, yeah, hell yeah, you know?
Like, you know, Trump, you think that Trump, a skeleton in his closet would stop, you know, put an instant stop to what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But, dude, he got like a fucking cemetery in his closet yeah. full of skeletons. And it hasn't stopped him, you know.
Right.
They dug up so much dirt on that guy, and it's still because he's so brash about it. And he just, you know, like Melania's jacket. That says yeah. it all, you know what I'm saying?
That was one of the things that we wanted to talk about was that. So we have this situation, right, where the kids are going – are being incarcerated. He did like this. Yo, this guy is so slick, man. Like he stirs up the shit, yeah. and then he says, "Oh, here's my pooper scooper. Right. I'm gonna pick it up, yeah. right?" And so he stirred up this whole shit, right?
Yeah.
Oh no, they're illegal, ball. And then he's like, "Oh, it breaks my heart to see these kids.
Oh,
so I'm gonna sign an executive order to detain the whole family instead of just the kids, right?"
But yeah. it's still not like
solving. It's fucked up, dude. It's like, yeah. It's frustrating. It's very, very frustrating because, even like what frustrates me the most is our own people that are cool with it. Mm-hmm. I could understand those that don't have an experience of being an outcast, of being the minority.
Think
I
about
understand
it.
That.
All the stuff that he's done, and we voted him president of the United States.
Yep.
Maybe not like we personally, but
yeah.
that's where he got.
No, but I'm saying not even just you know? That. Just the okay, yeah, he's president.
Right.
We deal with it, right? For right now, we don't have to deal with it, but. It's just that the people, especially the people of color, that are okay with what's happening. Mm-hmm. That's what bothers me the most.
Community, yeah.
And I feel like that's what that's why I wanted to bring it up here with La Verdad is because we're kind of like a voice, I feel, of a lot of people that listen to our show. And it's mm-hmm. like, yo, like, fuck you, dude. Like, why are you okay
you tell
with
him.
This?
You tell
no, him. Like, seriously, like, why are you okay with...
Yeah.
I don't need you to be a social media warrior. I don't, because I'm not being a social media warrior. I haven't even posted anything about it. Maybe one political cartoon, but I'm doing stuff behind the scenes, or I'm trying to make people aware of what's happening. I don't need you to go in and do Facebook, como se dice, battles or not battles, discussions with people and start discutiendo right. about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't do anything. Call your just inform yourself of who the hell you're voting for. And make sure that you... That
who
you,
are your representatives. Yeah.
Make sure you tell people around you who the hell your representatives are and who you're voting for, because those are the huelebichos that voted for this guy
mm-hmm.
To become president, to do this stuff. But it just takes it to a whole other level when you see someone like the first lady of the White House wear a $39 jacket. And the
but
whole time I'm
really
like...
really know that?
The whole time I'm like, why is she wearing a $39? Yeah.
Or is that social media telling us it's $39?
No, it's a $39. They found it. You could find it online. It's a $39 jacket, right? So you sit there and you're like, okay, like, what does $39 really have to do with anything? But it's the fact that no one else, no other first lady is going to wear it. Okay. It's the fact that it has something fucked up in the back that's saying, yeah. I do not care, do you? And she's going to visit kids in cages, in jail cells. So that's a political statement right now. That's a statement right there. But then she picked she chose to pick the cheapest jacket she could probably have in her wardrobe mm-hmm. on a 90 degree weather in Texas, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. Like, and then she's saying, oh, no, that was just pure coincidence. Man, and that's just
blind. There's no coincidence there.
It wasn't a coincidence. It was intentional because she wants to express her discontent for the media. And this is a way of saying that she doesn't care about the media anymore. All right, bro. All right.
It's just.
There's always a way to spin it.
It's just. Yeah. Man,
like, that was a total spin on Trump's part. Like,
yeah. You know. They should just say, I don't care. They should just be honest. Be like, I don't care about the kids. Yeah. Just be honest, man. Like, yeah. At this point, I wouldn't be surprised if he says it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I just think that they're going to do that. They're going to continue to do that, whatever. But it just gives power to those around us to also do that kind of stuff. And that's what scares me the most,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not so. It doesn't scare me that these bureaucrats and these people of power do it. What scares me is that they start giving they start fueling the fire to the people around us.
If they're doing it and it's right. okay, nowadays, then I can do it too.
Right. I travel for work a lot, and nowadays I feel like weird going into a place where there's a lot of And it's like, damn, like a couple of years back, I didn't feel like this.
Absolutely feel where you're coming from with that, man. Like, I feel that tension mm-hmm. when you walk into a place that and you're the only minority and you get the eyes and then you kind of give the eyes back. And it's like you both acknowledge each other that, you know, I feel out of place, but I'm not going to, you know, bow down to you in any way.
Yeah. And then I have to code switch, you know. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not going to sit there and be ghetto and shit. Like,
exactly.
I know how to act. I know
you
how gotta to
play the part, yeah.
But I wasn't feeling that 4 years ago, you know, three years ago.
Really?
I wasn't, you know, where I will, I go to, and I deal with politicians a lot and then government agencies a lot. And I just feel that weird vibe of, like, if I say something with an accent or I might say something different, like, and then I feel like they feel the same way. They feel like they can't say certain things because, mm-hmm. man, he's probably going to get offended. Like,
yeah.
I remember one of them was like, oh, I want to eat some tacos. And then I saw that he looked at me.
You're
like,
I'm not even Mexican.
Like, no, but like, I don't, like, I felt like he probably thought that he said that because I was there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I reminded him of a taco or something. No. But I felt bad for
you
him because I'm like, damn, this
tacos?
Is what we're coming to now that everything we say is like, Oh shit.
Right, and that's what I was saying earlier. Like, we're in this where we're so scared to say things like, oh, I offended this person. Oh, I offended that person. Because then that becomes like, ugh, it's annoying.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope.
It is.
It's like this weird, like, line because you also should be conscious of people's, like, you know, that they want to express themselves, they want to do what they do, and then you also want to say what you want. So we're like this. So, like,
yeah, it's a double-edged
what line. Do we do? So. Just keep your mouth shut. And just
that's what I said. Keep your eyes open. Keep your mouth shut.
So. And you have to have like this gauge, this radar of, I call it like a skin radar. Does he have thick skin or thin skin?
Yeah.
I personally have very thick skin. I and at work, I joke with my colleagues and I like making racist jokes, but in a fun way, stereotypical jokes in a fun way because I know myself, I have thick skin and it doesn't bother me when people... you know, make stereotype jokes. It's all in the fun, you know?
But like, you also know the crowd that you're with, too.
Exactly,
I've always stayed, like, I was always shied away from that. I remember my dad was saying, no te pongas la mierda.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. You gotta know the crowd.
But I only do that to some of my boys, like, my fraternity brothers that we kind of, you know, we know each other. We're trying to go and cry about something, but I'm not usually the guy to like say a joke. Some people that I know will say the joke and they don't even know who you are. Like, they'll just go ahead and say it. You know?
Yeah. No,
and
it's
like, damn,
tongue.
Dude, like, that's offensive sometimes. If you don't know me and you say something like that, that's offensive to me. Like, it's like,
yeah, I hear you.
You know, like, if you know me, then it's a different story.
But at
story.
The same time, doing those jokes, like, you're just kind of like giving into this whole, like, it's like a cycle. It's going to continue. And then the kids hear it and they're going to be like, oh, well, daddy said he was just joking about it.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. You've got to be aware of like, who you're around
for sure.
you. Yeah.
For sure. This is not something you want to.
I think there's always like that weird, like a weird line that, like, I don't know, like, and I see where you guys are coming from because you need to be careful. You don't know how that person feels, right? In reality, you don't know. Like, I remember talking to one of my guys that he would just talk a lot of shit. And I'm like, yo, like, you don't know what mood that person's in that day.
Right.
What mental, you know, state he's in that day. And you might have just triggered him to want to, like, kill himself or something like that, right?
But Okay, and now that you say that, I feel like you also need to be responsible. If you were offended,
to say something. Yeah.
Like, hey, that wasn't right.
That's
call
true.
People out. Because then, like you said, okay, they forced them to kill themselves. Like, you didn't do that. That person made the choice to do that.
I'm
and that's
a
whole
other
conversation. But I just feel like if you are offended or if you did something wrong and you feel hurt by it, maybe that person honestly didn't know they were doing wrong or something that hurt you.
We definitely, I've been trying to teach my daughter that too. Like, I want to teach her that she needs to tell that person or be open about it, because like, I'm the opposite. I'm very quiet about certain things. Like, somebody could be making fun of me, I just kind of like laugh and I'll be like, man, fuck you, in my head. Like, you know, and I throw a lot of F-bombs today, but it's a heated topic. But I see where you guys are coming from, where it's kind of like, yo, like, be conscious. But not everyone's going to be like that.
Right. Yeah,
of course. So I think it's our duty to teach our kids and our next generation to be, to talk and be like, hey, I don't, you're not being nice. I don't like that. You know, like, that does, I don't like you calling me that. Can you stop it? And then just go about your day. Like, I've done that in the past. I've been like, yo, like, cool it with those jokes. And then they'll be like, if they continue it, then I'll be like, you know what, man, get the, you know, like, I've had that in the past.
And again, it depends on the context and the environment you're in, you know. So in my situation, it's amongst colleagues, and I've already established
the relationship,
where they're at. They're at and how they fit in as far as this whole social construct. Like,
it's so big. Yeah, it's like crazy. It's,
yeah, man, you just really have to, like, be a judge of character and understand, you know, my boss is Greek, and we bust his balls. We make Greek jokes. He makes Puerto Rican jokes. It's three of us, you know. It's like two Puerto Ricans and a Greek boss. And we go back and forth because we're just cool like that, you know. So it depends on the context.
It's funny, too, because, like, I was at a meeting recently, and I thought it was kind of interesting. I wanted to laugh, but I was like, damn, should I not? Like, they were talking about this one co-worker that had a gender reveal party, and one of the viejos in the room, one of these white viejos in the room, was like, damn, they still do that nowadays? I thought they would wait till their 11th birthday to do the gender reveal party. And I'm like, damn. They're like, I was just sitting there, I was like, you don't say that, like, in a government agency. And I didn't laugh at the joke. I laughed more at, like, this guy has some balls to say that, like, in front of, like, all these people. And, like, a couple people laughed, and some other people were like,
But was he, like, legit confused, or was
he was making a joke out of it. And I was like, this guy is, like, it's, like, to another level. But little things like that has happened, and I feel like to you guys' point, yes, we need to be a little bit more conscious, but I feel like it's always going to happen. I think our duty as this generation is to teach our kids to speak up, I think. You know, like Vanessa said, like,
to speak up, but also be respectful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you don't want to be that kid that...
Yeah. Tell it. Yeah. Like, who the hell you think you're talking to?
But it's sad because I think nowadays their way of speaking up a lot of is to go back to school and shoot up the whole damn school, you know? And they don't understand how to stand up for themselves in that way, you know, because they feel like they're gonna be ostracized.
Yeah.
Then also, like, you have some kids that, like, speak up too much, man. They're little assholes. Like, I was at the barber shop a month ago. I remember, I think I texted Vanessa. I was like, man, this little kid here, I wanted to slap him. Because I walk in, he's like, hey, what's up, Goldo? I'm like, dude, you don't even know who I am. Then I noticed who the dad was. Like, oh, no wonder, bro. Like, your dad is reckless, man. Like, but, like, little things like that, I'm like, yo, like, this kid has no respect. And then he was talking to, he's like, oh, like, talking mad shit. Like, I was like,
strangling.
He was probably like 10, right? And they just
they need to throw your ass in the cage, boy.
Oh, God. Oh, damn.
Too soon. Damn. Too soon.
Yo, he has some.
God.
We just lost 10 listeners.
Right, yeah.
Where's the concentration cap when you need one?
No, man. He just had like some.
Moving
like,
on.
He just had like some crazy, like, my whole time, the whole time there, I'm like, damn, nobody's, like, telling this kid, like, how to act and react and how to be polite. Like, back in the day, I remember when I was a kid, like, my grandma would be like, or my grandfather would be like, hey, no, a lo mayores se respetan, you know, ask them for the bendición.
We got, like, the look, like.
Yep.
Wait till we get home.
Yeah, my dad always gave me that.
It wasn't even the whooping. It was just like the look.
Yeah,
but it was, the look. Oh.
But I grew up with this mentality of like, you respect your elders, and I think I try to do the same with my daughter And I try to do the same with everybody else that I like mentor or whatnot. It's like, yo, you respect your elders. No matter if they're a drug dealer, no matter nothing. Like, if they're older than you, you respect them, mm-hmm. and then you get respect back. You know, I'm more of that.
Yep.
In that vibe. I mean, I don't know. So a lot of people disagree with that. They're like, oh no, you gotta earn respect, especially in the hood, in the city. That's the mentality. Like, oh, you gotta get
respect earned. But it's like in a different concept, right? If you want to have friends, you gotta be a friend too, yeah. right? So exactly. Same concept. If you want respect, you gotta give respect. You're gonna take in what you give off. Did I say that right? Like, I don't know what the correct saying is, but you know, you attract what you. I don't know. You know what I mean.
Well, I think that kind of closes our segment.
Gotta way to close it out.
Vanessa speaks.
Yeah, I gotta get my words.
You know, together, we are getting close. We are in the summer. The official summer has officially started. So that means that barbecues are at a full rise. Yeah, festivals are at a full rise. So we were just at the Puerto Rican festival last week. I went on Thursday. I usually go on Thursdays. So for those that are not from the Chicagoland area, the Puerto Rican Festival, I think, is the 40th year of the Puerto Rican Day Parade. The festivals actually happen in what we call Humboldt Park, which is a neighborhood. It's actually a park itself called Humboldt Park, but the neighborhood is called Humboldt Park too, and it's been known to be like the mecca of all Puerto Ricans here in Chicago, right? That's where a lot of Puerto Ricans lived.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we literally planted our flags.
Yeah, there's two big old flags that show
Paseo Bolívar. Two flags, yeah.
So we were just at the festival last week. It was different this year, though, because this year they were charging to get in.
Yep.
It was $2 to get in, and there was like mad people already waiting to get in. I thought it was cool that they charged. Some people might disagree with me. I got to eat some alcapurrias. I got to eat some lechon, some pernil. And arroz con gandule. So one of the things too that I like about going to Humboldt Park is that you have all the la gente doña, la gente vieja, right? Like playing music and jamming out and barbecuing, man. So now we're getting close to the barbecue season. So do you have anything planned for barbecuing?
Man, I got the grill going, man. You know, that's something that it's in Chicago.
Do you wear chancletas when you grill?
No, I wear an apron, though.
Yeah? I rock the apron all the time. But the reason I brought up the chancletas is because I remember seeing a meme that if the guy cooking your food in the grill is not wearing chancletas.
Those specific ones. Right?
The leather chancletas with socks under them, then that's not going to be a good meal if they're not wearing that. Or if they're not wearing jorts.
Oh,
you know what jorts are? Jorts are the jean shorts.
Yes.
Then it's not gonna be a good meal. Chore. So I mean, I don't have jorts and I don't have chancletas when I grill, but I still throw down. So one of the other things too that I wanted to bring up today, and we're getting closer to the end of the episode here. I think you guys are like really quiet over here on my side. I feel like I'm talking a lot. So,
keep going.
You guys are good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Are you good? You need some water or something?
No.
One of the things too that I was talking to the team about was and it's kind of like a weird way to segue into it, but was like these old words that we used to say. So when I was talking to him, I was mentioning a couple things to like a younger generation. It kind of goes with the generation thing where I was saying some certain words and they were looking at me like, what do you mean by that? Like the bomb, you know, like, oh, shit, that's just the bomb. Or what was another one? What was another word that we had? I had it on a list going. Man, this segment sucks. I can't get it out.
Wait, what kind of words?
Like the bomb or like.
Oh,
the,
YOLO?
Yeah, like YOLO or like.
See,
I couldn't get it out.
At one point, we used to call like the gold chains like ice. Remember really? That was a thing?
Yeah, I think that's still used.
Really?
The bomb. We're like saying psych.
The bomb.com.
Psych.
Blast. Psych was a good
like
one.
Bling.
Psych
one. So oh, yeah, the reason bling. I brought it up was.
Or jinx.
Oh, yeah. So, like. Like some coworkers, we do like, oh, tight work today. It's kind of like a 90s, like early, like
tight
work. So like that's tight. Yeah.
Yeah, that's tight. So, I remember that.
And the reason I brought it up was because like when I was talking to like the younger generation, right? And I don't know if you guys ever feel like Like, you try to get into their lingo. Do you guys ever do that when you're talking
all the time with my kids?
No, like that's to me will be boring, right? As I was a kid, I'll be like,
yeah, I hated that too.
Oh, how's school? So I'll be like, yo, was school cool? Was like, was it raw? Like,
was it'd be, school it, cool?
I think I said, like,
did you really just say?
No, I'm saying like, was it cool raw today? Or something? And they're like, raw. Like,
was school the business today?
I think I. And this came out when we went. The reason this
was lit
was lit.
Litty.
So I would. This mostly came out when I went to Clemente when we were recruiting, and Keisha actually joined the team. And I was like, damn, like I got nervous. Like, I was like, I don't know how to talk to young people.
With kids all the times. I already know.
So I wanted to. So, like, I think I was just like, I said something, and they looked at me like, I think I was like, yo, that's pretty cool. That's pretty, that was pretty bomb, right? And they're like,
no, you pretty bomb.
Like, who let this guy in?
Like, oh hell no, this guy trying to be cool and shit. Like, so
yo,
some of those words,
sneakers
like,
are on fleek.
Yeah. Yo. Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Those sneakers
that
on
oh
fleek. I think they.
I heard eyebrows on fleek. That was the main one. I'm all my eyebrows are on fleek.
We need
fleek.
Like Keishla here, so she could.
Keishla, come back. She
really didn't come back, guys.
So. From the last episode, for making fun of prom. Yeah.
Like for me, like so, my siblings are all older. So I remember when my brother had said. The 9 yards or something like that. Like, what's it?
Oh,
like,
the whole nine.
There we go. I was like, what? And he's like, you haven't heard them? Like, no.
Yeah. People usually say like the whole 9 yards. Something I heard somebody say something the other day. And it was like an older generation, and I was like, and everybody was silent in the room. And he was like, do you guys don't know that part? I was like,
no.
Funny part is that like my grandma used to always have these like refranes or like phrases.
Yeah.
And nowadays I feel like nobody really uses phrases. And when you talk to old folks, they talked in phrases. The whole conversation was in phrases. Like they would describe like water as like, oh well, that cup is it half full or half empty? You know, like I'm like,
well, that thing I was just saying about keep your eyes open, your mouth shut, that's from a book I'm reading, and that phrase comes from like the grandmother in the book that I'm reading. But I'm like, dude, that totally applies.
Yeah, or the one phrase where it's like my mom's like, tell me who you hang with, I'll tell you who you are. I'm like,
yeah.
Really, mom? Really?
Yeah.
And you know what's funny?
That translates well in Spanish.
It does.
Dime con quien ande, te diré quien tú eres. You know what's funny too is that like when you really go into, and I don't know if you're into that, being that you like archaeology and studying like, you know, people too. There was I was listening to a podcast. It's one of these like serial, it's by this podcast brand called Serial. It's called S-Town. I think it was S-Town. I might be confusing both together. But it was about... No, it was another one, kind of similar to S-Town. So if you're listening to a lot of podcasts, check it out. And it's a whole story. It's like a book in a podcast format, but with like people talking, and they make it sound like it's real life. So this guy was like a old school farmer, and he will say a word in a weird way, like a phrase in a weird way. And most people were like... Like, never mind. You know, I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of a serial killer. I'm thinking of a serial killer. A serial killer.
Wait, what does that have to do with the farmer?
Hold on. The serial killer would say a certain phrase the wrong way all the time. People were like, he says it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And like it was actually the right way.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I saw it or what serial killer. This is in real life. But they found out that he did it. I know who it is. It's the guy that did all those bombings a long time ago via the mail.
Yeah,
the Unabomber?
Yeah, the Unabomber.
Yeah.
Okay, let me take it back because everybody's probably confused.
I'm so lost. He said farmer, serial killer.
So the way that they found out, the way that they found out that the Unabomber was the Unabomber was because of his phrase.
Oh yeah, yeah. He said something about cake. Yeah, something about cake, and it was
you can't have your cake and eat it too, or something like that. And it's actually like you can't eat your cake and have it too, or something.
You just repeated yourself.
Yeah, they put the letters in the press, and I think his brother recognized those phrases.
The letters, like yo,
my brother always says that like that.
Yeah, so little things like that. It's like, but they've changed so much in nowadays. Like you could tell where it came from, who said it, and what area it came from. So, like, I don't know. I thought talking about refranes was interesting because they don't do it as much anymore. But back then, you could identify somebody by the refrán that they will say and the way they will say it. So I thought that was
pretty
definitely cool.
Always butcher those, as you can tell from earlier, 10 seconds
I'm
ago.
I'm really bad at that. And if you listen to old
there's
podcasts.
There's, like, a show that the character, she's known for always butchering like common phrases like that.
I'm the same way. I'm sure like people have listened to the podcast before and be like, damn, this guy's an idiot. Like, he doesn't know what he's saying. But I think that kind of closes the podcast for today. I did want to mention though, Marissa, your mom is still collecting.
Yeah. So actually, she told me that she sent in like, was it 10 boxes cost over $500. So if you please.
How big are these boxes?
They're normal. They're
heavy
boxes,
too.
And they're heavy because it's school supplies. Mm-hmm. And so we could definitely use some more help with that. And then they are being delivered to Ponce. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to be dispersed. And she's actually going to the schools and giving to the students there. So yeah, we could definitely use more help. She's on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you go to the La Verdad page on Facebook,
yes.
And I think on Instagram probably, but on Facebook for sure, you'll see her Venmo information. Yep. I'll definitely go ahead and add it to the link of this podcast. I want to help out our friends and family over in Puerto Rico. We mentioned it in the previous podcast too, the one that we did with Ife. I want to definitely push our La Verdad people. If you want to just, you know, put it out there, you know, from I heard you on the podcast, or you want to reach out to her, feel free to do so as well. Or reach out to any of us.
Exactly.
And we'll be more than happy to send you the link.
Yep.
Or connect you to Marissa's mom, who is doing an awesome effort and collecting stuff for Puerto Rico. So she knows, because she's a teacher.
Yep.
So she knows exactly how painful it is here that we have supplies. Imagínate in Puerto Rico that they went through this crazy disaster. And we want to make sure that all the kids have what they need, the necessary stuff to start their day.
And think about it. Like, you know, for those, like, the parents who are just growing up, like, you used to love school supply shopping.
It,
like,
was exciting.
You know, and you wanted to go to school with a fresh start and, you know, and have your pencils and your notebooks and, like,
trapper keeper.
Yeah, like, you take pride in those things and, you know, and I feel like you want to have a good start to the school year. So yeah.
Right. Definitely. So we want to be able to give that to them.
So make sure you go ahead and check us out on Facebook. You'll see the link there and the information and a little bit more description of what she's doing, where she's taking it to, and when she's taking it as well. Also, make sure you check out the Segundo Ruiz Belvis Cultural Center's Facebook page. They have an awesome series right now called Borinquen Me Llama, but they brought in a bunch of muralists and artists from Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. Here in Chicago. They're here for like 2-3 weeks. And they're doing a bunch of different art installations, murals all over the city of Chicago. So by the time this podcast airs, I believe one will be already installed at the 606 trail. So feel free to check that out. Take pictures and tag the Segundo Ruiz Belvis Cultural Center. Also, come through the events. You'll see one of us here at most of the events here at the Segundo Ruiz Belvis Cultural Center. So thank you guys once again for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Peace and God bless.
Peace.